Hello and welcome to The Rabbit Hole, the Definitive Developers Podcast. Living large in New York. I'm your host, Michael Nunez. Our co-host today,
Dave Anderson.
And our guest extraordinaire,
Sophie Kreutz.
And today, we'll be talking about Facebook's DNS woes. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's one for the record books. New high score.
New high score of about 24 hours. I lost the day. I don't know. I just kept, you know, trying to refresh my Instagram. Wasn't working.
Oh, no. You were just in a haze that whole time.
Yeah. I was trying to call my mom on WhatsApp. Wasn't working. Oh, but no. It was so quiet. Everything was quiet that day.
Right,
it was pretty intense.
The day the earth stood still.
Exactly. Oh, man.
The day we all navel gazed, right?
Or use Twitter. That's what happened. A lot of people flocked over to Twitter.
In fact, yes. What would we have done without Twitter?
Shout out to Twitter. You are the best. And, you know, a lot of people were affected. Many people, I think it was like billions of users across those three applications were affected by this outage. And, you know, 99% of the time when you get an outage that bad, it's definitely DNS related, I'm sure.
So not only did it affect like the individuals who couldn't access the service, which was everyone who uses those things, but also like businesses who are like selling and shareholders who are holding Facebook, like, you know, that really affected.
Yeah. I think we look at it like, oh, that's kind of silly. It's a social network that, you know, how foolish. But in reality, there are businesses that use Facebook to sell their product and they lost a lot of revenue that day, which for some small businesses might actually mean the difference between paying rent that month or not. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. So I think like when you're trying to mitigate an outage or like trying to retrospect on an outage, it's definitely good to like consider like what the impact of the outage was, like what a truly the outcomes were from that.
Yeah. And from the social network perspective, maybe it's worthwhile to note that for a lot of folks, I think it is super useful as a point of connection. And that can look like a lot of different things. But for example, if you're a musician, you might actually be networking to find gigs through Facebook. And then that's how you continue to pay your rent that way and stay connected to the musician community. And I'm sure there's other examples as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I joked about not being able to speak to my mom, but the idea that I know Dominican Republic is really huge on using WhatsApp exclusively for phone calls and messaging. And the fact that you can't, you know, reach out to someone, imagine like, oh, I am unable to make phone calls when I need to make phone calls, whether it's like you're calling a family member or like you mentioned, Sophie, the idea of like having to make phone calls for business purposes, like
right. You
just cannot do that. And it was really strange to like call my mom through the regular cell phone app to call her landline to say, hey, what's up? How are you? Just so you know, Facebook is not working. And like having to explain that to my mother was pretty funny.
I guess it's a right. Good thing you had a workaround, though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Most people may not.
Definitely have a plan B. Yeah. And William told us a story about like a motorcyclist in Bali who went off the road, and his first instinct was to post on Facebook where he was and like what happened. And then he passed out. And somebody like sent an ambulance to go pick him up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Good on that person. That's pretty cool that he was able to use Facebook to that. It would suck like if you were to send the post like that and then like people just liked it and then that was it. That'd be so horrible. But I'm glad that it was used for good and that he was saved in this particular situation.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I guess like, when we're trying to like mitigate outages, it's good to think about like, you know, what the real impact was, but then like to try to reduce that impact in the future, there are a bunch of tools that we have that we can use to try to identify the root cause. We can use the 5 whys technique. That one's pretty helpful. Have you ever used that before, Mike?
Yes, I have. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is that, you know, there is a situation that happened. I'll use the Facebook is down, right? the idea is that one would ask, well, why did Facebook go down? And then, you know, the answer to that question will be the next why of the question. So like, oh, so suppose, oh, it was a DNS issue. Well, why was it a DNS issue? It's because the, you know, the README that we use in the playbook was not updated to support all these different countries. Well, why wasn't the playbook updated to support those other countries? Well, it was because the previous outage that was only 7 seconds, we were in a scramble and we forgot to do that. Well, why wasn't it prioritized for us to, like, you go down the list of the whys that it happened. I'm not 100% sure those are the whys. Facebook, please don't cancel my account. I'm not 100% sure, but the idea is that you go down the list to find out why, so that you get a better solution than just, hey, don't have DNS issues, right? Like, that's just, that's not the proper solution.
Exactly. And it's like, it's not a perfect tool because you can go kind of off the rails pretty quickly. And like, people kind of like practice this to a degree, like inherently, where like there were so many like weird theories going around the internet. We're like, wait, why is Facebook down? It's like,
people had some interesting ideas. Yeah. For instance, Facebook went down because someone deleted the Facebook master code. Now, why would someone do that?
Oh, well, obviously because there was a whistleblower that week and they wanted to get rid of the evidence.
Right. Yeah. And why was there a whistleblower that week? Whistleblower Francis Haugen?
Maybe because of the 10 days of darkness. And the coming political destruction of the world. That's why. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, wow. And why are there going to be 10 days of darkness?
Because this guy said so on a forum, and I think he's like Internet Jesus or something. I'm not really sure.
Oh, wow. And why is there a need for such a figure? How did this figure arise?
Because five whys is really complicated. It's hard to do. it's just really hard to find causality in the universe, I guess.
Right. It seems like you could just keep asking why, you know, potentially without end. We might have gone beyond five there.
I mean, I think it is good to, for the five whys, if I had to give pointers for it, obviously keep it grounded in reality, eh? Make sure that the idea is that you want to keep it close to the incident, I guess. But one of the things that I've seen in my experience, and this is pretty horrible to say, I think the very first why in our given example was Bobby over here, Bobby Facebook, deleted the master code, right? And say that's the thing that happened. Well, the solution isn't to fire Bobby immediately, but I've seen five whys work in a way where the solution for that particular, I guess, exercise was actually the person got fired. And I don't think that that was like, I don't think it called for that, but it was like, oh, you know, if Bobby didn't take the chance to update the README that would have prevented the DNS issues from going down, then maybe it was Bobby's incompetence that was able to do that. So we're firing him. And I'm like, whoa, did you just use the root cause analysis, five whys, to fire someone, to justify firing someone? I would suggest people who use that to not do that, because you want to make sure that you have enough trust in your team to explore the whys and then be able to, you know, come up with the proper solution rather than, oh, we weren't working out.
Let's, I mean, I think that goes back to Project Aristotle, right? Like, just baseline psychological safety.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And the ability to, like, raise issues early and often.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's the five whys, after all, not the five who's.
And who hired this guy? This guy's fired too.
What's the chain of blame here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can't use the five whys as the chain of blame. Don't do that.
Yeah,
definitely not useful.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have like a very clear picture in like what actually happened, but it's kind of interesting, you know, to think about it in that way, because like from the outside world, like everyone was seeing that Facebook was no longer available on DNS, where like some registrars were even like, would you be interested in buying the domain facebook.com?
That That's crazy.
So it can be like easy to just be like, oh, okay, like obviously it's a DNS problem. Like, you know, this is so clear. Like, but there were like little bits of information that leaked out.
Yeah. Do we have any like more detailed information about what exactly probably actually did happen?
There was an interesting snippet on ZDNet. It's like someone had posted to Reddit before like that was scrubbed from the internet clean. But they were saying that like the DNS non-availability was just a result of an even more arcane network problem where someone like updated BGP peer routings incorrectly. And then as a result of that, the DNS couldn't get updated.
But why did they update the configuration incorrectly?
I think that's where, you know, we're off the map and, you know, here there be monsters for us. Like, we don't have much visibility into it. Like, maybe it was a training problem. Maybe, you know, maybe they used a wild card instead of, like, something else.
Yeah.
They, like, update star. Delete where star. Something.
Well, I thought it was sort of interesting, too, how the article mentions that there were two issues. One was these actual routing problems. And then there was the fact that physical access apparently was a barrier. Folks couldn't into the location they needed to get into.
Why didn't people have access to the location to fix it?
I thought it was because the access to get into the building was also used by this Facebook server, which was down.
But why did they do that? Why did they set up the Facebook server to like use the same thing?
That is a good question. I guess that's a note to keep. Don't keep all your things on the same roof.
Yes.
Make sure that people have access to your application, even if the server is down.
Yes, and why would you have folks who need to access a thing but don't actually have the ability to themselves get access to that thing? That seems like a strange, maybe silo thing or an odd separation of concerns.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes like that separation of concerns is like deliberate. You have like responsibility matrices and like, okay, like he who can touch this thing cannot touch this other thing. And, you know, she who can like have the keys cannot open the door. I've definitely worked in regulated environments that are like that. Mm-hmm. But it can lead to these kind of weird situations. Like a classic thing was always like database production access. Like, okay, like if you're writing the code, you can't get access to the database production access. You gotta like send it over to the DBA who will execute the code. But then like if you miss like a semicolon or something in your SQL script, then like, okay, it has to go
it's
all
a
back
whole
again.
Thing
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you think there are advantages to that kind of system?
I mean, the DBA doesn't care about the data in the database, and so, like, they're not going to do anything, like, untoward with it, I guess. They're unlikely to be, like, invested in, like, manipulating it or...
I see. Yeah, something to ponder.
Yeah. You know, you give me access to a production database, and you know what's going to happen. It's just the Wild West.
I'll have to say, during the outage, as I was trying to figure it out... You know, and as a software engineer, I thought, yeah, you know, I might have an inkling and an understanding as to what is actually happening when, you know, when you go and try and search through Google as to what's going on. But it was the first time that I've ever saw the BGP acronym being used. And I realized how far removed I am from the op side of getting a website up and running. When I first read it, I confused it. Was like, what does it have to do with the Great Britain Pound? Like, what's going on? The GBP? What is the GBP? And how does that deal with Facebook? But then it's BGP. And it's like, oh, I have to do the flipperino myself in my head. I knew what a DNS was. And I, you know, my first instinct was, oh, it's probably some DNS issue. They'll get over it. That's fine. But then it was like, oh, this BGP thing. And I had to go and do some more research on that to kind of get a sense of what is that. In the first place.
I guess like those kind of separations of concerns kind of naturally happen where, you know, you're focused on application code and the DNS routing, like it's not changing every day. So even if you were responsible for setting it up, like, you might forget about it. And I had to work on a project where we had to like learn a lot about DNS. And that just kind of made me realize how little I actually knew. And this, I had a similar reaction when BGP came up, because it was like, okay, well, how does the internet work again?
Packets. It's all packets.
Right. Yeah. But like,
I oversimplify, obviously.
Yeah. Just little tiny packets. So DNS, that's like a lookup of like the host name to the IP address. So the packet that you're sending to Facebook like has to be addressed to like the IP and not the host name. Like, the host name is just for people to feel better about computers and not have to remember really long numbers.
Right, because you can go to Facebook through an IP address if you really wanted to, but that would be a really weird way to remember, you know, different websites.
Yeah, exactly. So DNS like provides a way to give you that mapping and some additional metadata. If you've ever set up like some analytics on your domain, like, you sometimes need to add like meta information to your DNS entry so that you can prove that you own it, or, you know, all that stuff. But then BGP is even more low level, or like kind of a different thing where it's like, when you have those servers, like, how do you actually get between them in the best possible way? So it's not completely random.
Seems like there's a approved list of neighbors, so to speak, that each BGP speaker can talk to.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to say these are the ones that you should be sending all of your packets through. Like, this is the best way that you can get through our network. Without, like, you know, packets just randomly going wherever packets want to go. So, yeah, if you screw up that BGP routing, then you might not even be able to get to your server that is hosting your DNS and knowing where the addresses of all those packets should go.
Right.
So you might not be able to figure out, like, you know, where Facebook.com is, or where, like, door unlock.facebook.com is, or anything like that.
If you put application an XML file in your neighbor address tag inside that, if you put an address that, I don't know, maybe doesn't exist or is on the moon, that could
is on the moon.
Moonraker.
Oh, I just can't wait until we have IP addresses on the moon.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah. Completely nuts.
And so whatever you do for Facebook, you know, be extra. If you're dealing with this BGP, I imagine one should be very, very careful before you wipe your application off the internet address list. Mm-hmm. Right? That's something you do not want to do. I'm unsure how easy or difficult it is for someone to make this mistake, but I would implore that you be very careful, regardless of whether it's very difficult or easy, to make the mistake of deleting your entire application off the face of the internet, which is kind of a scary thing, right? Because the internet's supposed to be vast. You can go everywhere, but if it makes it that easy, that's kind of scary. So be very, very careful of that. And if you do run into this issue, one should just be able to use some kind of root cause analysis kind of exercise, such as the five whys, to kind of get down to the nitty gritty and figure out what went wrong and what we can do as a software development team to not have such an incident like that again. But I will say thank you, Facebook, because my mom couldn't call me many, many times, but I'm sure a lot of people were affected by this. A lot of people were affected by this. And I imagine that they got their own little postmortem happening as to what's going on.
Oh, yes.
What they can do to fix it and that kind of stuff.
I'm sure they learned a ton.
I really hope if there's some kind of developer blog that comes out of Facebook to talk more in depth about it. But I'm sure this is stuff that they want to keep secret, especially if it was embarrassing, like Bobby, you know, RMRF some system, and then the whole thing just went kaput, you know?
Classic yeah. Bobby.
Someone. Classic Bobby.
Always. You know, we can't fire that guy. He's always doing that kind of stuff. It's real fine. Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy is around so that he runs into this problem so that we can do something about it. That's right. What it is.
It's a chaos monkey.
Yeah, exactly. Bobby dropped tables, Bobby rim raff. That's just this is what Bobby does best. This is tearing it up.
Keep at it. Yeah.
Follow us now on Twitter at Radio Free Rabbit so we can keep the conversation going. Like what you hear? Give us a 5-star review and help developers just like you find their way into the rabbit hole. And never miss an episode. Subscribe now however you listen to your favorite podcast. On behalf of our producer extraordinaire, William Jeffries, and my amazing co-host, Dave Anderson, and me, your host, Michael Nunez, thanks for listening to The Rabbit Hole.